my goodness. Blessed are you, O Lord our God. You are the King of the universe. There is no one like you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are good. You are faithful. You are so patient with us, but you are so generous. You are the mighty God who has redeemed us. Change us now. Make us bold. Make our hearts big. Change our families. Heal old wounds. Restore relationships. Change our city, our neighborhoods, our schools. God, change our world and let us as your people be a part of something that will echo for generations. We ask this now in the holy, the mighty, the rescuing, the redeeming, the life-giving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Listen, have a seat, and while you have a seat, just these folks are going to get off the stage, and in just a second, we're going to thank a whole bunch of people. So y'all can start moving. This amazing group of singers and musicians. Yes, go ahead, let them know. Woo. Saw that, didn't you? Like little ones next to not so little ones. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the church. But now I want you to help me thank some other folks. There's so many teams that have put this together, and I feel like I'm giving an Oscar acceptance speech because I'm going to forget someone, okay? But here's the deal. There are so many teams, our administrators, who sweat all the details that none of us care about until something goes wrong. I want you to, in just a minute, to remember them. I want you to remember the communications team that put all of this gorgeous stuff, this look together, the things that are in the lobby that are telling the story so well. Like I said, our musicians and our band and all these people that have done this, our financial team that has continued to just monitor all of this along the way, the guest relations people who showed up early. I mean, they're the ones who helped all of us to get in here. So many different people. But mostly, I want you to help me now thank our technical teams. Because these folks, yeah. These folks were here late last night after a high school graduation. They come in. They were here till what you and I would call early this morning. Some of them barely got any sleep at all to put all of this together. But there are now people all over the place who are still working as they serve the rest of you. So I want you to thank them. And I want to give a special shout out to, there's a whole bunch of guys that are in a TV truck that aren't even worshiping with us. And they are serving us and people who will now watch this later in the week. So would you help me thank these technical teams one more time. Thank you, guys. All right. So I told you this was going to be big. I want you to just lean over. This isn't a big conversation, but we've got to officially make this a time at the crossing. So I want you to have a conversation with someone. If I say this thing is big, and it is big, lean over to someone and tell them what you think of when you think of big. Like, what's the biggest thing you've seen, experienced, been a part of? Could be any number of things. Just lean over, little shoulder conversation. You know, don't break out refreshments. Just lean over real quickly, real quickly. So those of you up there, somebody tell me, what's something big that you think of, really, really big? Can somebody tell me? It was a great idea of mine, wasn't it? That didn't work at all. Because this is big. You were saying this is big, right? No, I have no idea what you were saying. What is it? The Grand Canyon. Yeah, that's something. So I heard a little voice over here. And it's gone. So anybody here? What? Like the Pacific Ocean. What is it? Oh, the birth of a child. That is a huge, big moment. So you're going in a different direction there. That's all cool. How about the universe? Can we all agree the universe is really, really big? The universe is so big that the way we measure it is with something we call light years. Now, a light year is how far you can travel, traveling the speed of light for a year. That's 186,000 miles per second. So how far can you go in a year when you're traveling 186,000 miles per second? You can go a long way. 5.88 trillion miles is how far you can go. Now you tell me, how big is the known, the observable universe? We don't really know. There was a detailed calculation a few years ago by some physicists, and they came up with the number 45.7 billion light years. I don't even think we can understand how many zeros are behind that. That's how big the observable universe is. Now follow me on this. If the universe is that big and it didn't happen by accident, then whoever created this, whoever thought this up, must be even greater, even bigger, even more. That's logical, yes? That is exactly what Scripture says. Who has measured out all Earth's waters in a single cupped palm and marked off the heavens with an outstretched hand? Who else but God could stretch out the skies as if they were a curtain? Look at the myriad of stars and constellations about you. Who set them to burning, each in its place? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls each by name. This is the God we worship. The psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. For you see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and time, matter, space, it all exploded into existence. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. At the very beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it was good. At the very beginning, God creates light. The stars, the burning galaxies. It is a part of this finely tuned universe. It is a part of who we are and what we experience. It's a part of this world that was just fine tuned for us. You see, God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need this to exist. He doesn't need this, but we do. Light is a really important part of how we live in this world. Without light, plants don't grow. Photosynthesis doesn't happen. That's what fuels the whole food chain. It is light that we are told that stimulates certain mood-boosting hormones in the brain and the production of vitamin D in our bodies. Recent research says that it is actually a part of key immune cells triggering in our body. Light is a big deal to us. So at the beginning, God creates light. But he gets to the end of the story in Revelation 22. God says, I'm going to do away with all darkness. In between, God uses this idea of light and darkness to tell us what he is up to in the story. In 2 Samuel, he is described as the light of the morning, the brightness after a rain. Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. God restores us. God heals us. We cling to that. In the book of Isaiah, we are told those who are living in darkness will see a great light, and then it happened. Now we're in the New Testament. The Gospel of John says that this one who was there, God the Son, who was there when the universe exploded into existence, somehow takes on human form and enters the story. God walked the earth as one of us. And John, his friend, said, I was there. It was like pure light coming into the world. This is how he puts it. In him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now let's go on ahead and say that the darkness can be pretty dark. You don't need me to read the headlines. You don't need me to remind you of the ugliness in this world. Or maybe it's just the darkness in our own hearts. Now we're getting there. There is light and there is darkness, but this God that we worship is not intimidated, shocked, or overwhelmed by darkness. The God who loves you is not afraid of the dark. It cannot overcome his light. Jesus, a little bit deeper into the story, now says to some folks at a very strategic moment, I am the light of the world. He doesn't say, hey, I'm a really nice guy. I'm trying really hard, and I think I've got a couple of good ideas. He says, I am the light of the world. I am God coming into your midst. If anyone's tired of walking in the darkness, then follow me. I'll lead you out of this mess. In fact, what he says is, if you will follow me, you'll have this light in your life. One more time, if you'll follow me. Do you know what it means to follow him? If you confess him as Lord, if you admit that you can't do this on your own, if you ask him to forgive you and to restore you, he does, and he moves in so close that you now have him with you forever, eternity. You see, this is the hinge. This is the turning point. This is why we do everything we do. You remember a few minutes ago when I said this really big thing is going to get really small and really personal? Here it is. You see, the God of all things did not leave us on our own to fend for ourselves. This God who creates all of this came to get in close, came to rescue me. Now, will anybody loan me a quarter? I need a quarter. Does anybody still carry change? I'm not kidding. Can anybody, a quarter, just a quarter. Don't you love it when preachers ask for money? Just wait. No, so, yeah, all right. Thank you. Oh, see, look at this. Oh, wait, here. I got his. Oh, here. Thank you, dear. All right. So now here. Remember we said the universe is really, really big? If the universe was the size, let's say the universe is the size of North America. So all the way down to the tip of Mexico, all the way up to the northern tip of Canada, that's the size of the known universe. You with me? That's how big the universe is. If that's the size of the universe, then this quarter is the size of our Milky Way galaxy, which, by the way, is 100,000 light years across in itself. Now, in this galaxy, there is an almost imperceptible speck, a little star that we call the sun, and then an infinitesimally even smaller speck rotating around that sun in this galaxy, a little blue-green planet we like to call home. And that is where we live. And the story we tell is that God, the God who creates all of this, comes in close. David says, when I consider the heavens, when I the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, all of this, David says, who am I? Who are we that you even care about us? The story I am telling you is that God loved me so much that he came into that little speck to rescue me. God knows me by name. He knows my failures. He knows my hopes. God loves me and says, I will do everything and make a way so that you can spend eternity with me. And it cost him everything. It's the sacrifice of all sacrifices. That's why we sing. That's why we worship. That's why we get all crazy about stuff around here. That's why we're so passionate. That's why we throw party after party for prodigals. Because we were prodigals and God did this for us. It is the life of Jesus. It is his death on the cross that pays my penalty. It is the resurrection that proves it all. This is it. It is Jesus. If you do not know him, if you do not follow him, I am telling you, you can today. Come find me. Come find us. Come home, my boy. Come home, my girl. Come home. But the beauty of this is when we come home and God restores us, then he sends us back out into the world. He says, make a dent, do something. Use what I've given you, now go make a difference. In fact, Jesus put it this way, let your light, it's his light in you, let your light shine before men. Love, serve, champion others. Love as you have been loved. Again, that's the vision of the big picture. That's the big why. You've been around, you've heard the messages, you've watched some of the videos, you've heard the stories, you've gone to the Q&As. You know this, but in real quick review, there's basically like three big buckets. The first one is that we will continue to offer the grace of God to people in this community. I don't know how to say this any other way, but the multi-site thing works. We are now about to replicate what happened at Fenton and Mid Rivers again at Grants Trail in a completely different neighborhood. It will make room for some folks at Fenton, and it will also make an opportunity for people whose names we don't even know yet. We will do this again because we are undone by God's grace. The second bucket is that we will intentionally invest in other ministries locally and internationally because we are absolutely convinced we are not the only game in town. We know God is up to things. Zimbabwe, absolutely, but it's more than water. Locally, investing in pastors, mentoring them, literacy programs, a whole host of things. Investing in key ministries around St. Louis that are making a difference, pushing back darkness. Somebody said to me, why would we do this when we've got stuff to do? Why would we give that money away? Because we are the church and we are a people of hope and we will keep doing the right thing again and again for a long, long time. And we will see this city change. Maybe not in my lifetime, maybe not in yours, but in our kids and our grandkids. And the story will be told. It could be traced back to a people of God and to a moment like this. And then lastly, speaking of generations, we're going to invest in our future and the generations that will live in that future. So we're going to continue to learn how to communicate and to tweak some of our strategy so that we can reach younger generations, developing a new pipeline for developing leaders. But the big ticket item on that one is that we're going to pay down some debt. We're going to set this church up for success, and we're going to hand it to future generations. Without acquiring more debt, we are going to pay debt down. You want to be a part of something big? Then join us. I believe God has called us to be a theologically conservative, technologically liberal, mind-blowingly creative, outrageously generous, spiritually alive church that keeps pushing back darkness. So how about it? It'll be your choice. No guilt, no pressure, no arm twisting. You came over your own will. By the way, for the skeptics, here you go, buddy. I'm not in this for me. Check. But it's why people are doing this. In just a minute, it's why you will now see what you will see. And you won't even know some of these stories. I barely know some of them. But it's why newlyweds are saying, we're going to do something we've never done before. It's why people of all financial capacities are saying, we're going to make this a priority for us. It's why business owners are making decisions. It's why young people who are barely making any money. It's why a teenager with tears last week came up to me and said, thank you so much for believing in our generation. I have to be a part of this. And I don't know how, but I figured it out. I am going to take the money that I am making from babysitting in a certain area for a certain family, and I'm going to, for the next 3 years, give that. I hope it's enough because I want to be a part of this thing. Are you kidding me? It's why grandparents with tears in their eyes came up and said, I'm doing this. It doesn't even make sense, but I'm doing this for my grandkids. I want this to be there for them. It's why a family that suffered the kind of loss you and I can't even imagine in our worst nightmares, when you lose children, there is nothing worse. But when this family says, we are going to give the money that one of our girls would have used to go to college, we're going to give that as our commitment to the campaign because God sustained us through this church going through that storm of grief. It's why a young man, I don't even know if he's here, he said it has to be anonymous, so I'm not singling him out, but a young man who is about to be deployed as a Marine stopped by our church office this week and said, I can't make a 3-year pledge because I don't know where I'll be 3 years from now. I don't even know if I'll make it on Sunday. But I have $2,500 in my savings account, and I would like to give you $1,200 of that dollars now. I hope it is enough. I hope you consider this a sacrifice because God changed my life here. I was baptized here. I believe in what God is doing. Are you kidding me? And now it's our turn. People giving land, selling RVs, and giving jewelry and motorcycles. This is crazy. Some of you are going, how does that work? Stock, because we believe that it is our turn to push back some darkness. Now I'm going to ask you to help me make a visual point before we get into that last little moment. Little moment. Huge moment, okay? Everybody take out your phone. And you'll notice that your phone actually makes light. Yes, that doesn't take long. You can activate it. Please turn your ringers off now. If you forgot, you just got lucky through the whole service. Turn it off now. Don't activate your phone yet. I really want you to just keep it off. But in just a second, you're going to help me make a point. We're going to make the room dark. In just a second, each of us will have an opportunity to do that and just turn a little light on that, you know, your phone can make, or maybe it's just the front of the screen, but that'll be your thing. Don't do it yet. That's right. It works. Now turn it off. Like, that's amazing. Nobody told me that. No, you knew. Turn it off. Dad, help him, please. I want to show you, because when we talk about pushing back darkness, and some of you see what's in this world, you get overwhelmed and go, I don't think we can make it. I don't think we can do this. Listen, you just do your part. And it's connected to someone else's part. And by the grace of God, that's how this works. And you'd be shocked how a lot of light coming together can push back darkness. So I'm going to ask, if you would, now to just turn everything off. Can we turn that off? Let's close those curtains back there. Let's take the screens out. This is going to get not completely dark, but it's going to be dark for a second. If you were a part of the living room, those 8 people, would you please turn on your phone and hold it up, and even stand up if you would. Gang, I see somebody, and I know there's just a look right there. I don't even know who you are, but thank you for caring about us, Jim. If you showed up at the clubhouse, would you stand up and turn your light on? Jim, stay up. All of you, stay up. Yes. If you were a part of the YMCA before we even started official services at Marquette, would you stand up? That's me and my family. If you showed up at the YMCA, would you turn the light on and show up and stand up for us? If you showed up at Chesterfield in 1, 2, 3 phases, would you turn a light on and stand up? If you came from Fenton, would you stand up and turn your light on? If you came from Mid Rivers, would you stand up and turn your... If you are here because of online experiences, would you stand up and turn your light on? Look around you, people. Do you have any idea the kind of legacy that happens when we vow together to turn back darkness? I don't know about you, but on this day, this moment, I will not be outdone by a star or a galaxy that has not tasted of grace. For me, I will worship the one true God. Will you join me? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a Amen. Thank you. Turn the light off. You can sit back down. But did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you hear the gratitude? Did you hear the awe, the wonder? Could you hear faith that stretches across generations? Some people on your row are representing 2, maybe even 3 generations. Do you hear it? It's a resilient hope. It's this idea that we will not back down. Some of us, there is something that has awakened deep in our souls, and we know this is our time. So now, here we go. It is the moment you have been waiting for. Here we will celebrate equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. We come with different capacities, but we worship the same God, and we have all enjoyed His grace. And now, we will do this for people whose names we don't even know, for generations that have not even been born yet. It's not out of compulsion. It's not out of guilt. You get to do this. So in just a second, there'll be a moment when you have a chance to go to any of these receptacles that you will see, these tall, beautiful wicker things, and they're all over the rooms, and you'll be able to drop that commitment card in there. If you don't have a card yet, we've tried really hard, but there are people around close who can help you find a card if you need a card. If you need to borrow a pen, then borrow a pen. We're going to show you something one more time, a video that will remind you of why we do this. But the truth is now, guys, we are at that place where we will pledge. And some people have said, so when does this start? July 1st. You get to stipulate how you're doing that, how you're ramping it up. Some of you have already committed. You've already sent a card in. I would ask you to be a part of this in an act of worship. Would you please sign your name on something? We already have your stuff, but just say, I'm in. God be praised. Whatever you want to do, I want you to be a part of this act of worship. For some of you, you've come to me and said, I'm going to amend my pledge. I need to tweak that. Write your name, the details, and give us the new amount. Just tweak that. Some of you are not ready to give anything, but there are people in this room, I guarantee you, who are saying, I want to know this Jesus. You write down your information, your contact information, and say, I want to know this Jesus, and I will guarantee you one of us will contact you this week. But now it's time. So I would ask you then, in just a moment after we've watched this, to take your time, quietly, respectfully, worshipfully, then you, your family, whomever, you just find these. When you've dropped your commitment in, we're officially done. I mean, even though we're just getting started, we're officially done with our service. I would suggest that you find other people that you need to hug and love and maybe even thank for being the one who invited you to come to the crossing, the one who introduced you to Jesus, maybe. But we're finished then. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. I don't think I can adequately explain to you how blessed I am. I don't think I can tell you how absolutely overwhelmed I am to be your pastor. I don't think I can tell you what an honor it is to say that we get to do this together because we are the people of God. We are the church. We live with a resilient hope. We see the world through grace-healed eyes. And the Spirit of God courses through our veins. So now, the moment that many of us have been waiting for. God, please bless these people. Bless this work. And may we stand in awe of what you are about to do throughout the land. May you be praised. Watch this.
You know, for eight people that sort of had a dream and a vision that church could be different and that it needed to be different in St. Louis, man, thank you.
It really isn't theory, because that future, what I dream about, is happening right now. I'm watching it in the lives of my kids.
To think that what we're doing is going to make such a great impact in the lives of people outside of these walls.
So I look at 7 grandkids. I need them to have a place that they can go and they can hear and they can be engaged, and that they will, like your kids, go, I just want to be here.
And we feel like this campus, this new campus, is positioned to begin to invite people into what God is doing here.
When I think about the most generous thing I've ever done, and I compare it to grace, it's not generous at all. The ability to do that in big and small ways, and say, will it make a difference? Yes, I promise you, it will make a difference.
If you are doubting, if you're wondering about God, it's a safe place for you to come and learn. You do feel like you can invite your friends that aren't necessarily where you may be spiritually and feel as though they will be taken care of.
One of the things Christ always did when he entered any place, he made it better. He brought sight to the blind. He brought food to the hungry. And then by making it better, it allowed him to tell his story even better, which is the ultimate story, which is the story of the good news, Jesus.
My wife grew up in the church, and I did not. I didn't even go to church. I wasn't even a Christer growing up. I literally had, by the time I was graduated high school, I'd probably been in a church twice. And I don't even know what for.
I grew up in Taiwan, so I never really have a concept of God, like any God. I'm a scientist, so I'm like, if you can prove it, it doesn't exist. You get up, work hard, and you are it.
I was talking to this gal and other people around. You know, there was these conversations going, and church came up and asked me if I had a church. And I was like, oh, funny you ask. My wife and I are looking for a church. And then she said, you and your wife, Melanie, meet me 9 a.m. Sunday. And I was like, aye. 5 weeks in a row, I'm at church, right? What? People that know me, they had to have been fallen on the floor thinking that I'm at church 5 weeks in a row.
I have a friend who has visited twice, and she is asking questions. We're having tough conversations. We talk on a weekly basis, and she keeps asking questions. And I feel like this church is a very safe place for conversations and questions like that to take place.
My faith background is as a Christian Scientist. 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, my wife passed on. And I was struggling with all the grief.
I really wanted to be a part of a church that had a heart for people and a place that I knew that I could bring my friends to. I remember I went to what was then the Newcomers Dinner, which is now the Vision Dinner. And at the end of the night, I wasn't prepared for what was going to happen because we showed the baptism video. And it wrecked me. Absolutely wrecked me, because I remember thinking to myself, man, I long to be a part of a church that makes that kind of impact in people's lives.
My friends finally kept being persistent but not pushy. I mean, it was just, come to church, I think you'd enjoy it, you know.
So it seems true, but God, how do I take this step? How do I connect all of this knowledge to you? And I felt it so strong inside of me. It was like a voice saying, so you have all the pieces to the puzzle you asked for. The next step is called faith.
And it had nothing to do with religion anymore, but it had to do with relationship. And that's for me when I realized I have been following God, but I don't know if I knew Jesus too well.
And I was just exhausted. I just feel like life is so hard that I have to do everything. And I just feel this heavy weight. I need somebody else in my life to help me carry the load.
After the service, I was just sitting in my chair, and the auditorium had pretty much emptied out, and I noticed that this couple was still sitting next to me that I had, you know, introduced myself to but had never met before in my life. And they were still sitting there, and I remember thinking, I wonder why they're still here. And I was kind of turned away from them. And after a considerable amount of time, I felt this hand on my shoulder. And this total stranger, you know, asked what he could do to help me. My response to him was, you just did.
Every day I was just thinking about Jesus and becoming emotional. I'm thinking, what in the world is this all about? And the only thing that I could do, I was prompt to just, I spun around, my knees hit the floor, I laid my face in her sofa, and that was the first time that I'd ever prayed in my life. And from that day on, my life has never been the same, ever.
I want my faith to move from my mind to my heart. I want to have a personal relationship where I feel that I'm walking with Jesus.
I feel I belong.
We're going to do this. We're going to make room for people that we don't even know, because you know what? Somebody made room for me 6 years ago, and I'm forever grateful. My family's forever grateful. My three kids have been baptized at this church. You know what that means as a dad and a father? To see your kids a part of this community.
Let's not look at our friends as projects that we have to rescue or convert or convince. Let's just love them and serve them and tell them the story of God. And when we step into this big picture, I am telling you, we become part of a long line of stories. Moses, Abraham, David, Mary, Paul. We are a part of the big, big story of God, because our hope is real, because Jesus can be trusted, because grace is the antidote, because His church is the last best hope for this world. What if our children and their children and generations to come looked back on a day when this church said yes to something we can barely imagine? If you don't hear anything else I say today, do not forget, people. These are the times we longed for, what we were made for. This is what many of us have prayed for. I just wanted to be there once and see God do a mighty work. Well, this is it.